The seminary has recently been guilty of a bait and switch. Students who thought they would be studying religious bodies of America with Professor Moeller had me, unhappily, imposed on them instead. Lest you feel too bad for them, however, recall that I had this thrust on me as well. What we found in that course over the last several days is that the problem of works is one that has confounded the various traditions of the past and the present. And the bad news for the students in that class is that things are not going to get better. They get worse the deeper in we go. That should cheer them up. Whether it's James 2:24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, which we heard yesterday, or today's Matthew 12:35. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. It sometimes seems that the Lutheran emphasis on justification by grace through faith, apart from works, because of Christ, seems to have a rough go in certain texts. Nowhere does this come clearer than in some of the simple phrases that people use to summarize their Christianity. In the last centuries, it has become increasingly fashionable to minimize one's confession and instead to emphasize practical Christianity or experiential Christianity. Confessions are dismissed as unnecessary theological hair splitting that have little or nothing to do with true Christianity. Nothing better summarizes this perspective than the familiar little phrase, deeds, not creeds. The idea seems to be, well, a person can say anything, but if you really want to know what they're like, you look at what they do. Deeds, not creeds. How does this square with what Christ is talking about here in Matthew 12? Frankly, it doesn't. What Jesus is talking about is creeds, not deeds. The setting is a confrontation, again, between Jesus and the Pharisees, after Jesus has healed a man possessed by demons. The Pharisees accuse Jesus of casting out these demons by invoking the prince of demons himself. Jesus points out the silliness of such a claim, noting that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Then, immediately prior to today's text, he makes one of the most pointed statements that comes from his lips. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. In other words, it's all about words. Words spoken, words confessed, words believed, words lived. That is the point Jesus is trying to get across to us. As he puts it, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Most people, when they think of a tree producing fruit, think of good works. Works of charity and compassion. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus was not against these things. After all, he healed the sick, made the lame to walk, fed the hungry, and so forth. These are good actions, and they accompany not only the ministry of Jesus, but they should also accompany our own life of faith, but not at the expense of our words, of our confession. For our confession determines the shape and the nature of the works that we do. Perhaps you've heard of Joel Osteen, the wildly successful pastor of Lakewood Church, a congregation so large it recently moved into the old Compact Center in Houston. A book offered on Osteen's website is called The Power of Words, and the blurb introducing this book states the following: "Your words affect your future. Speaking God's word over your life can help you to live the life of victory that God has in store for you." Unfortunately for Osteen, his June 20th appearance on CNN's Larry King show was anything but a victory. In one of the more spectacular public failures of late, Osteen, when pressed by Larry King, failed to make a clear confession that Christ alone is the way to the Father. So great was the outcry over his weak words that Osteen was forced to publish an apology on his website, which states, in part, "It was never my desire or intention to leave any doubt as to what I believe and whom I serve. I regret and sincerely apologize that I was unclear on the very thing in which I have dedicated my life. In my desire not to alienate the people that Jesus came to save, I did not clearly communicate the convictions that I hold so precious. I am comforted by the fact that He, God, sees my heart and knows my intentions." Christ says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." We see what is in the heart with words. Now, my point is not to bash on Joel Osteen. Each of us here has failed in our own words, failed to confess clearly. My point is that the downplaying of confession, of right speaking, of correct words, ignoring the emphasis that Christ Himself placed on these things, has perhaps set the stage for such spectacular failures as Osteen and our own. Instead, hear the word of the Lord: "The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. And by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned." And what are the words we speak? They're words given to us by Christ, the Word incarnate. The words confessing is life, suffering, death, resurrection for us. Words the Holy Spirit gives us to speak, pointing only to Christ, not to our own heart, not to our intentions, not to our own works, but words confessing Christ, and words given to us by the church. This is the way Lutherans think, in contrast to so much of American Christianity, which so often dismisses the church's words. In 1538, the mature Luther captured this when he wrote, "I have decided to publish the three symbols, or creeds, the ones which hitherto have been kept, read, and sung in the whole church, so that I may again bear witness that I hold to the real Christian church, and not to that false, arrogant church, which is indeed the worst enemy of the real church." Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is to reject the words He has given us to speak. The work of man is to create his own words apart from those of the Spirit. But these works of the flesh profit nothing. As Christ Himself says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So once more, our Lord: "I tell you, On the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It really is all about the words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.